Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Well, good morning, good afternoon. It's Tuesday. The market's down a lot. Let's not talk about it. So why is Shelley Fishman here and Bill Buckmaster not here? Because Buckmaster's down in the Bahamas with his beautiful wife, enjoying a couple of weeks off. Of course, I just got back from Italy after a couple of weeks there. So I am honored for the third year in a row now to have James Real here in the studio with me.
Yeah, how come I'm never on the show when Bill Buckmaster is in this?
We'll have to ask Bill.
All right.
James is Mr. Music in Tucson. He's the program director, of course, for KUAT-FM and Chamber Music, president, CEO, and the president of the Southern Arizona Symphony Orchestra.
No, that's history.
That's history.
That's history.
Oh,
I've cut
gosh.
Back.
Okay, but you still know a lot about music.
I know just enough to stay one step ahead of most other people.
Okay, well, what we're going to do today is kind of a follow-up to the show we did just a year ago. We're going to take a look at music that made its way into the popular domain and had its origins in classical music. So we're going to take a look at a number of examples. We're going to start back when music was music in 1941 with a song sung by Judy Garland. But where did she get that from?
Well, actually, Shelley, it goes back even farther. It goes back to the song that you're talking to goes back to 1917, 1918.
Does it really?
It does. We're talking about I'm Always Chasing Rainbows.
Right.
Really beautiful song. It was a big hit in 1918 and got a few 78 RPM recordings, but then it was revived in 41,
yeah,
something like that, for the Ziegfeld Girl.
Right,
and that's
exactly
where it became much more familiar.
Okay. So let's listen to the Chopin first. The original source of the material is the Chopin Fantasy Impromptu for piano, and we're going to hear Donald Trivanoff playing the piano. Let's keep listening. Now let's listen to what Judy Garland does with that exact same melody in 1941.
I'm always chasing rainbows, waiting to find a little
didn't realize it's even in the same key.
You know, Shelley, there's an interesting bit of trivia about the Chopin original. Uh-huh. There was a very prominent American music and theater and art critic in the years around 1900 named James Huneker. Very influential, not that smart when it came to evaluating music. His opinions haven't always stood the test of time. And what he said about that Chopin original was that part of it was mawkish and without nobility.
Ah, well, he's never tried to play triplets against 4-4, one in each hand at that speed before, obviously. it's probably Chopin's most famous individual piano work. And we just heard the end of Judy Garland singing it. But, you know, James, that was a different time because very often the hit parade, the music that was in the top 10 or top 100 of what you and I or our fathers listened to and mothers listened to, was derived from the movies and from Broadway. There were not that many original hits that were written just for release as singles. It wasn't really until the 45 and then later on, of course, the 33 when albums came out. But Broadway really did create for us what was our popular music. And throughout the 40s and then also throughout the early part of the 50s. And there was a pair of composer writers, Wright and Forrest, George Wright and George Forrest, who did a number of shows, starting in 1944, I think, with Song of Norway, which was after the music of Grieg, and then went on and on. I mean, there was a musical called A Gypsy Lady using the music of Victor Herbert, and there was Magdalena using the music of Victor Villa-Lobos. What was unique about the way they were interpreting and they were reworking that music, where they were taking the nationalist composers who were using the music from their own country's folk tradition and adapting it to Broadway stories.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the most successful, it wasn't until 1953, after Song of Norway was moderately successful, then a couple of flops, and then came Kismet. And Kismet was billed as a musical Arabian Night starring Alfred Drake, who was the original Curly, of course, in Oklahoma.
Right.
But the music of Borodin, Alexander Borodin, a nationalist Russian composer, was used as the source music for the entire score. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to one of the hit tunes from that show, but it was also a hit tune for weeks and weeks and weeks on the hit parade. And it's called Stranger in Paradise. So first, let's take a look at the origin, which is one of the Polovtsian dances from Prince Igor by Alexander Borodin. And then we'll see if we can fade it into Stranger in Paradise. Singing the introduction to the song.
And why is the nightingale singing at noon on the mulberry bough? For some most mysterious reason, this is the garden I know. No, it's paradise now that was only a garden.
And here comes Richard Kiley with the theme.
I've been waiting.
Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise, all lost in a wonderland, a stranger in paradise. If I stand starry-eyed, that's a danger in paradise for mortals who stand beside an angel.
So we're going to fade that out, talk a little bit more about Kismet, because Wright and Forrest actually did a follow-up version to Kismet, 1978, called Timbuktu, starring Eartha Kitt. And it was the black version, and it was just an awful lot of fun.
Yeah, well, there was the whiz around that time,
exactly,
too, the black version,
exactly.
Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'll never forget this big muscle guy carries Eartha Kitt on stage on his shoulders and lets her down. She walks to the front of the stage and says, I'm here. I mean, just goofing the whole time.
Now, Shelley, I think Alexander Borodin may be the only dead classical composer to have won a Tony.
Is that right?
For Kismet, yes. And not only that, but I think he's probably also the only research chemist to have won a Tony, because that was his day job.
Of course. Right, right. So I think this is a good time to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to listen to some more pop music with origins in the classical music genre. But first, we have to pay the bills. And one of the ways we're going to pay the bills is to talk about Mona's. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, and luscious brownies. And I don't know what's in the brownies, but they're really good. They are open for lunch right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
And we're back live in the studio. Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster with James Reel as my guest for the whole hour. We're talking about pop music that had its origins in the classical music genre. And we're honored to have James back for the third year in a row in these kind of substitute for Bill programs.
Yeah, someday you'll learn.
No. And as we go into more and more contemporary music, we're going to get some really interesting stuff that James suggested we include in the program. But for now, we're going to listen to a piece of music that is probably the one single piece of music that is most associated with Italian opera. And that's the aria Vesti la Giubba from Leoncavallo's I Pagliacci.
The words are, we're out of Rice Krispies.
We're out of Rice Krispies. Yeah. But the performer that we're going to hear sing this is a guy by the name of Mario Lanza, who came around in the mid-50s, had a good stage presence, but he never sang on stage. He went right into the movies. He may have done some early performances.
He sang, aside from his student days, he was in one production.
Oh.
In New Orleans. He sang Pinkerton in Madama Butterfly for two nights, and that was it.
Right.
As
took
an adult.
The cigarette. Stamps it out, right? I remember that scene. Anyway, let's listen to Vesti la Giubba, sung by Mario Lanza from the movie For the First Time.
Vesti la Giubba e la faccia in farina, la gente paga e ridere vuole.
So why are we fading that out? That seems popular enough, but you suggested.
I suggested Rice Krispies.
You suggested Rice Krispies, but you also suggested a song by
the popular
Teddy
song.
Randazzo.
Yes, Teddy. He was better known as a songwriter than as a recording artist, but he did record some things. And he really got into this particular aria. In fact, the introduction to his song, what is it called?
That's the Way of a Clown.
That's the Way of a Clown, which is basically what the character in Pagliacci is singing. He's got this big, overblown orchestral introduction. Then it becomes more of a normal song.
Right, and this is a period in time when there were a number of Italian men, Italian origin men, who were singing in the Italian street style and who made huge careers. I mean, Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, Perry Como, we'll hear some more from him, Dean Martin. I mean, this became kind of a big popular style in the American music scene in the late 50s and early 60s. So let's listen to That's the Way of a Clown, sung by Teddy Randazzo.
To you, From the start, I play the part. While I make you laugh, someone else thrills your heart. That's the way of a clown. That's the way of a clown. It's the part I must play. That's the way of a clown.
That's fun. That is a lot of fun, and clearly just lifted both the chord progressions and of course the introductory music from Vesti la Giubba by Leon Cavallo.
Sure.
So we were talking about Italian American singers of the 50s. I remember Perry Como when he did a half-hour show, actually a 15-minute show at first on NBC, and
right.
then that was expanded, this relaxed kind of singing style that became so very popular. But
did they call him Perry Como for a while because it was so relaxed?
Perry Como, okay, got it. That's good. I didn't hear that, but I probably should have.
You were unconscious at the time.
I was unconscious at the time, but I didn't realize that one of his biggest hits had been lifted from another Chopin piece.
Yeah, and that was his first big hit, in fact. Yeah, it's really strange in a way that Chopin is the source for some of these popular songs, because if you were listening at the top of the show, the introductory part of that Chopin piece we played was unsingable.
Right.
It's keyboard music.
Yes, exactly.
But he does get into these lyrical passages that are quite beautiful. And if you know where to find them, it's good fodder for a song.
Well, let's listen to the Chopin Polonaise No. 6, the heroic Polonaise. And we're going to listen to Yundi Lee at the piano. And then what we'll do is come back and talk a little bit about Till the End of Time.
Perhaps Monty Python fans recognize that as the theme for the song Oliver Cromwell.
Right.
It's also used by the Doors. So this one's gotten around.
This one has gotten around and had that introduction, that pianistic introduction, and then he gets into this theme. And it's hard not to want to listen to the whole thing, but of course we don't have time. So.
But you know, I still can't imagine that theme being sung by Perry Como, Mr. Relaxation. And yet it happened.
And here it goes.
He's really relaxed.
Stars are in the blue, long as there's a spring, a bird to sing, I'll go on loving you till the end of time, long as roses bloom in May, my love for you.
So that's Perry Como.
Yeah, there's something sinister about the horns there. It sounds kind of like a stalker song.
Because there's this whole militaristic, heroic source, and
right.
That comes out, and yet there's Perry Como kind of relaxed and singing it his own way.
Number one on the Billboard charts for 10 consecutive weeks in 1945.
Absolutely, and that's a recording from 46, but he recorded it again, I think, in 52 or 53. Mm. Takes it a little less relaxed because he's a little older, but it's just as great a song and just as great a melody. written by Frédéric Chopin. We're going to take another break now. This is a, kind of a good time to mention that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be back live in the studio after this break. I'm here with James Reel, filling in for Bill Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
We're back live in the studio. Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster off in the Bahamas with his wife. And I'm here for the hour with James Reel. We're talking about music, and we're talking about popular music that had its origins in classical, with classical composers. James, why don't you introduce this next piece by Beethoven and Billy Joel?
Yeah, all right. Well, we're coming into the 1970s now, I think. But first, we're going back to the 1790s.
There you go.
Because Beethoven was only 27 years old when he wrote his Pathetique Sonata. Doesn't mean pathetic. I mean, it's better than that. It has this element of pathos, this deep feeling of emotion, especially in the slow movement. And that was used as the theme for the Carl Haas
Adventures in Music.
Adventures in Good Music.
I grew up with that at QXR for years in New York.
Yeah, and Billy Joel came along eventually, and he incorporated it, not all the way through, but he incorporated that theme into one of his songs, Till the End. No, that was This Night.
This Night.
This Night. It comes from one of his fairly early albums, I think. Is An Innocent Man is what the album is called.
Okay, so let's listen to the middle movement of the Beethoven Pathetique Sonata, and then we'll cut into Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You're sure Billy Joel uses this?
Yeah, but you gotta give it some time. Okay. It's in the chorus.
Let's go.
It's coming.
It's coming. That's Beethoven.
And you know, it doesn't sound wholly inappropriate in that pseudo-1950s rock and roll setting.
It works. It's a great melody.
Yeah.
It absolutely works. And it's a direct lift.
Right.
I mean, not even anything hidden about it. It's a direct lift. Let's stick with Beethoven.
All right, let's stick
with
another
idea.
Yeah, he wrote this little piano piece that most piano students know called Für Elise.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows who Elise was. There are some... there's some speculation about who he wrote this for, but nothing for sure. But it's this little piano piece that everybody knows. And of all things, it has popped up in a fairly recent rap song. Now, with rap, it's not really so much about original music as sampling beats or little squibs of pieces and using that to underlie what you're doing with the words. There's this rapper called Nas who puts out albums with the parental advisory stickers all over them. But there's one song that he did that does not have a sticker like that because he intended it especially for children. It's supposed to be inspirational, called I Can.
Uh-huh. So let's listen to not the original Für Elise. I've got a version for orchestra that is so sloppy sweet I couldn't resist it. And then we'll go into the rap song I
all
Can.
Right.
Boys and girls, listen up. You can be anything in the world, and God be true. trust. An architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like I met a woman who's becoming a star. She
was James, that's clearly what it is, and using classical music to underlie a message in a rap song is really amazing.
I think he had another reason, not just because it's a convenient public domain piece of music, but in the video that goes with this, there's a little girl sitting at an upright piano in right. the middle of a vacant lot. And so I think the idea is this is something that a little girl would reasonably be playing on a piano
sure.
at home. So it's tying it into real life, I think.
So speculate for me a little bit. How do you think Beethoven or Chopin or any of these straight collar, you know, stuff shirts would think about having their music adapted this way?
By Beethoven, you know, if we were talking about Bach or Vivaldi or Handel, I'd say they'd probably go with it. By Beethoven's time, Chopin's time, there was this cult of the artistic genius, and their music was eventually thought to be untouchable. You don't mess with what they wrote, which is not necessarily what they thought at the time, because Beethoven was notorious for not quite finishing things in mm-hmm. time for the premiere, and so he just kind of improvised at the first performance in some cases. I think he might have been okay with certain uses of it. We're going to get into something a little bit later with a group called Emerson, Lake and Palmer,
right.
and they actually got approval from a living composer to have their way with his music.
Uh-huh. So depending upon the composer, maybe depending upon the time that the composer lived, that music would be taken as either sacrosanct or perfectly okay for that kind of adaptation.
Right, right.
Interesting. Because we can't climb into their minds, but we can enjoy not only the product of what they did.
I don't know that I'd want to climb into their minds. Those are dark, creepy places.
Yeah. You know, Chopin, of course, was bipolar and... And Beethoven was somewhat strange, but also a genius. Probably a good time to take a break before we come back for the last section. I'm with James Reel here, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, with this exciting news from Green Things and Socolo Fine Mexican Imports. Socolo is at 2924 East Broadway, and they're moving. They're moving soon to a new location on the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And the great Socolo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America is really on sale now. It's a pre-moving sale, and it's a great time to take advantage of that sale as they are preparing to move. Their location is near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. There's a link to the Socolo website, of course, at thebuckmastershow.com. We'll be back live in the studio after these commercial words.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
So we're back live in the studio, Shelley Fishman and James Reel, making fun with music, both classical music and pop music. And now we're going to get into something really, really, when I first heard it, I just thought it was bizarre. And you suggested it, James, so why don't you go with this?
I did. Well, first let me tell you about the original composer, Leos Janáček, a Czech composer who had a late blooming. Really came into his own when he was in his 50s, 60s, 70s. And in the 1920s, when his age was pretty advanced, he was asked to write a fanfare for a gymnastics meet, and he turned that fanfare into the seed for a 25-minute work called Sinfonietta. Well, some decades later, in the 1970s, this British trio called Emerson, Lake, and Palmer were getting into what came to be known as progressive rock. Some critics called it pretentious rock. But the idea was it's not just teenagers playing three chords on a guitar. They had to have real mastery of their instruments, and they had pretensions to more intellectual goals. And part of that was incorporating elements of classical music, jazz, whatever, into their own sound. And so somehow they ran across Janáček's Sinfonietta, and they took a little fragment of it and put it into one of their songs called Knife's Edge from their first album, I think it was.
So let's listen to first the Sinfonietta, and then let's fade it into a Knife Edge.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance.
Now, in their early work, they did not always credit the composers they borrowed from, but it became much more blatant, more of an homage as their albums progressed. And they got to the point at which the they did a version of something by Beethoven. I don't remember which it was. It wasn't the fifth of Beethoven. It was something else. But L.V. Beethoven was credited as one of the co-composers on that song.
Ah.
And I referred to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer a while ago in relation to their work with a living composer. You had to get permission if you're going to use something that's still under copyright.
Sure.
And they wanted to do something with Aaron Copland's music. They did two Aaron Copland pieces, the more famous of which is Fanfare for the Common Man. And they contacted Copland's publisher and they said, forget it. So he found Copland's phone number, called him up, and explained what he wanted to do, played for Copland what they were doing. And Copland said, well, this is an interesting thing to do with my music. Sure, go ahead. I mean, the beginning and end are Fanfare for the Common Man. It's the 6 minutes in the middle, that's you. So this sounds like fun. Do it.
So this kind of relates back to what we were discussing a little bit earlier in the segment. How would composers feel about pop musicians lifting their stuff?
I think if they're making money from it, it's okay.
Well, there's that.
The Rachmaninoff estate. Now, Rachmaninoff had been long dead by the time there was a guy in the 1970s who started using a lot of his melodies in his work. Eric Carmen, pop music guy, did a song called All By Myself, which used the slow movement of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. And he used more Rachmaninoff and Never Gonna Fall in Love Again and My Girl, all this Rachmaninoff. Well, the Rachmaninoff estate, which controlled the rights to his music, found out, sued him.
Uh-oh.
And eventually wound up getting a share of the royalties from those songs.
Wow, wow. Well, we're going to kind of end the show with a selection or a pair of selections from a composer who is not in a position to sue anybody because he's long gone. But his name is Amilcare Ponchielli. And he wrote an opera called La Gioconda. Don't ask me what it's about. Nobody knows.
It involves people getting poisoned.
Poisoned. And, yeah. And in the middle of it, probably because the Paris Opera demanded it, there's a ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And the ballet, the Dance of the Hours, we're going to hear an excerpt from the Walt Disney movie Fantasia. We're going to just hear a couple of measures of this because it's going to be instantly familiar.
But you know, Shelley, I think it's familiar for two reasons. One, for its use in Fantasia.
Right.
And the other for what we're about to get into.
What we're about to hear. So who was Alan Sherman anyway?
He was some nut, but...
My Son the Nut.
My Son the Nut was the title of his third album. Yeah, he was a
humorist.
Borscht
Belt humorist.
Right, a humorist who would often take familiar classical themes and assign satirical or just plain out funny lyrics to them.
Right. And this was the hit tune from that album. This is the elite East Coast version of Hello Mudda, Hello Fada.
Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining, and they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators, and the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads to us from something called Ulysses. Now I don't want this should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy?
I would love to listen to the whole thing, but we're going to run out of time, and I'd like to chat a little bit more.
All right.
So you are Mr. Classical Music here in Tucson, and Tucson is known as as a real great town for some of the best classical music in all of Arizona. We have a new conductor of the orchestra, and of course the Chamber Music Society is known for some of the finest chamber music performances in the country. How do you attribute that interest in this particular genre here in Tucson?
Well, it's getting harder and harder, I have to say, because through the decades, we've always been able to rely on people reaching a certain age when they have enough money and spare time to go to concerts. And they remember being forced to take piano lessons as kids or whatever.
Sure.
And some of that stuck with them. And they decide it's time to indulge their curiosity in classical music. There's less music education in the schools now. A lot of teachers are still trying. There are private teachers out there, but there's less and less. And so young people aren't really being exposed to it at an early age. So I don't know what's going to happen when they turn 50 some years from now. On the positive side, though, a lot of young people don't lock themselves into a particular genre of music and just stay there. A lot of them are open to all kinds of experiences. Some of them are stuck on a particular kind of country western or heavy metal or whatever it might be. But a lot of them have a really interesting shuffle list on their players. It could be anything. And classical music can be part of that.
Yeah, I agree. One of the motivations for this show is showing the similarities and the origins of much that is in the popular culture, going back into where it came from and what those ideas were.
But I'm not sure that's going to be happening very much in the future, because I attribute what we've been listening to more to the existence of the so-called middlebrow culture in the United States, which was denigrated by highbrow types, a sort of a watered-down sort of culture that you didn't really have to know much about to get into, but it gave you some class, some respectability. If you know a little bit about classical music, a little bit about Hemingway, a little bit about this and that. And so the music that we've been hearing, the original pieces, were in the back of people's minds. They might not have been classical music experts, but they'd heard it somewhere. And so these new songs sounded instantly familiar to them. But middlebrow has gone away, but it hasn't. Middlebrow has become self-contained. And instead of helping people aspire to be the upper class, middlebrow is its own thing. Middlebrow is quality TV shows like The Sopranos and The Wire.
Well, yeah, you know, we started the show with some excerpts from Broadway musicals. And when I think of what's happened to Broadway, of course, now we have rap on Broadway. But something happened in the 80s with a change in style. And it was an incorporation of many styles into a single Broadway show. And we saw that certainly with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and then the follow-up shows that Jesus Christ Superstar, that were through composed more or less, so that they sounded in many ways like modern operas, and they gave you the experience of what a contemporary opera would sound like, and really caught on. So you have Les Miserables, which is almost completely through composed. Cats, certainly. You can think of others.
Lots of Stephen Sondheim.
And lots of Stephen Sondheim.
And yet there was
those
a fork.
Extended scenes.
There was a fork at that time. It went in that direction, but also we went in the direction of jukebox musicals, where you get a bunch of hits that already exist and you stitch them together into a show.
Yeah. So both things happening at once. But I was at first surprised and a little bit appalled by some of the things I was hearing on Broadway, and then kind of relaxed into it and said, wait a second, this is the modern opera. This is the evolution of extending people's patience, because, you know, one of the jokes about Les Miserables is, you know, at the end of the show, you're another year older. to pick up the, you know, at the end of the one of the songs in the show. But the whole idea that an audience can be patient and listen to several different verses of the same song, listen to changes in key in the same song, and really go with the whole idea that it may take more than just casual listening to really get into it. And I think that's something that I'm optimistic about.
Yeah, it's a matter of investment.
There you go. Investment, intellectual investment, investment yeah. in time. Well, speaking of time, we're out of it again.
Oh.
This is, as always, been fun. We needed another 2 hours to really do all of the stuff we wanted to do. I am honored and pleased that you have chosen to come back for yet another year and help do this show. Next week, we'll be with here again. I'll be sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We'll be doing a completely different show on business and on investing. But James, thank you very much, and I hope to see you before a year is up.
It's always a pleasure.
Michael Medved, stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.